This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So for those of you who don't know me, I have two sisters and I am the middle child. And growing up, there were several moments where I felt like that I wasn't the favourite. But equally, there were times when I felt like I was. When I felt the favourite, it was great. I absolutely loved it. But when I wasn't the favourite, I felt jealous, upset, and undervalued. So many times, I wanted to be the favourite one. Which I guess could mean that I was saying, it's okay that my sisters don't receive the same treatment as me. I'm more valuable. I'm more worthy. And I've been thinking a lot about this topic of favouritism recently. It's our theme, Heart to Heart, and favouritism is something that I've been thinking about, and I've been wondering, why would I strive for that? Favouritism is showing unfair, preferential treatment to a particular person or group at the expense of another. Have you ever been the object of favouritism? Perhaps you felt like your mum or your dad liked you more, or your teacher or your employer. Perhaps you have received gifts or encouragement when others haven't, even if they were deserving of them. Perhaps people choose to spend time with you over others, even if that means letting other people down. Or perhaps you have never been the favoured one. Favoritism towards someone means discriminating against others. Have you ever been the object of discrimination? Perhaps it was for how you looked, your height, your weight, your complexion, your hair. Perhaps you've experienced discrimination based on your race, your faith, or your gender. How did it make you feel? The Bible mentions favoritism so many times, and the reoccurring message that I have found is that there is no favoritism with God. The ancient Old Testament law tells us, the Lord your God is an awe-inspiring God, showing no partiality, favoritism, and taking no bribe. The Apostle Paul repeats multiple times throughout the Bible that there is no favoritism with God. And Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, says, now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism. So let's read one of the many passages of scripture that speaks into this topic about favoritism. In James chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, we read about an example of favoritism within the early church. So let's read James 2, verse 1 to 9. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but says to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonoured the poor. It is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him who you belong? If you keep the royal law found in scriptures, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Verse 1 says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favouritism. Do you show favouritism? As I have been reflecting on this passage, I have realised that it's too easy to think that this doesn't apply to us, to me. We would never tolerate such obvious favouritism as James points out, would we? And especially at the moment, the illustration of the rich man coming into a church meeting, showing special attention by being given the best seat, seems distant from our current situation. We are in lockdown, socially distant, and our church meetings can only happen online. Now, if we think back to when we met at Headingley Methodist Church, maybe we had a favourite pew we didn't want to give up, we didn't want to share. Maybe we could reflect on how we did or didn't welcome others into that environment. But I think that there is more to this than just what happens in a physical building. So this morning, I am going to explore this topic of favouritism. This is a problem that I have begun to recognise in myself and in our society, and using this passage from James as a starting point, I'm going to consider our personal and digital interactions, our corporate plans, and our economic activity. In each of these areas, we can consciously or unconsciously show favouritism or discrimination. And I pray that God will speak to each of us, not to think of this as someone else's issue, but to identify and to challenge the favouritism in each of us. Now, I have been challenged preparing for this talk today, not only reflecting back on my childhood, but realising that I still have this tendency today. Recently, there have been times where I've wanted my two boys to like me more than my husband, Mike. I still want to be the favourite sometimes. And sometimes I show favouritism towards others. At the school gates, it's one of the rare opportunities for social contact with others. But I have been challenged to think, do I just speak to my friends and fail to notice others, those who may be on the fringe? Realising the implications was such an unpleasant feeling for me. Why would I want to be more valued than others? Potentially making people feel less important. Why would I then do the same to others, treating some more favourably? And as this passage in James points out, this issue is not a minor one, but is core to what Jesus calls the royal law and what Jesus describes as one of the greatest commandments. Love your neighbour as yourself. When we show favouritism, we look down on people, saying we are no better, we are better, and that you deserve less. In Genesis 1, verse 27, we read that we are made in the image of God. We believe that Jesus died for us, for all of us. If we all bear the image of God, and if his heart and love towards us is that he is willing to die for us, then our heart's response to others should be the same, valuing all, valuing everybody. God doesn't show favouritism, so nor should we. In thinking about this, I was really convicted to make a change, to honour Mike and his relationship with the boys. Chat to the parent at the school gates who doesn't speak very good English. Thinking about God's heart for others has helped to change my heart, Now, much of our interaction at the moment is online, and this got me thinking, what is it about online or digital experiences that is the equivalent of the good seat that was given to the rich man in James's illustration? Is it ending up in the best breakout room, perhaps? Are we willing to engage, even if you end up being with people that you would rather have avoided? Or is providing a seat of honour equivalent to making that extra effort to work through technical issues or internet troubles to connect with somebody? Are we willing to make that extra effort for those who are not our favourites? Now, our small groups are a great place for us to meet different people. And it would be easy to choose a group to be with people who are our favourites. Alternatively, you could take a risk and join a new small group, increasing the opportunity to meet others who are not from your usual social circles, people you otherwise wouldn't connect with. And this may be something to consider as the new term of small group launches in the next few weeks. Thinking more widely about our activities as a church, if you follow David's blog, you will know that we have begun to consider what returning to in-person meetings will look like. We are going to be prioritising Sunday meetings for those who can't access church online. Now, that will come at a cost for some of us. It is a really important choice we are making together to prioritise, not based on what we can get out of it, our desire to see our friends, but to focus on those with the greatest needs. When it is possible to have larger meetings, we are likely to have to restrict the numbers, requiring more planning ahead and less spontaneity, and lots of people to serve on rotas to make everything happen. And it's not just the responsibility of the staff or the leaders or the welcome team to put this into practice. We will all have choices over the coming months to consider how we are going to prioritise. And as David was saying last week, God's heart is that we include others, especially those who have been traditionally excluded. Who do we favour? And as a result, who could be missing out? Are we willing to learn from our mistakes and put new things into practice, making a positive change? What choices can you make that will put James's warning about favouritism within the church into practice, into our community? The challenge for all of us is to ask ourselves, do I make a decision based on what is beneficial for me, what I can get out of it, or whether I can honour others? Are we giving unfair, preferential treatment to a particular person or a group at the expense of others? Favouritism is something that affects our personal face-to-face and online interactions and impacts us as a church, but is also something that affects our wider society. James highlights the irony of honouring the rich, since it was those same people who were exploiting the rest. James feared that the church was beginning to treat the poor as society treated them, as people who were to be shamed and looked down upon. Now, scripture is packed full of interesting verses and instructions and rebuke to the rich and those in a position of power not to take advantage of the poor, but to come to their aid. And as we have been exploring the issue of modern slavery recently, Mike and I have been horrified to understand the exploitation involved in making the food that we eat or the clothes that we buy. We've been so struck at the same time, though, how easy it has been to take the first steps to put in this right by choosing a different brand of coffee or by writing to our favourite chocolate companies to ask what they are doing to identify and remove slavery from their supply chain. Billy, who is in our small group, has given me permission to share his recent experience. And after a career change and the impact of coronavirus, Billy's family has much less income, so they are on a really tight budget now. They must think about every expense and must choose cheaper items. It feels like there is not any manoeuvre in the budget. Yet following the recent talks on Sunday and discussions about modern slavery within our small group, Billy describes becoming more and more aware that their family also have choices. And they have chosen to put some thought and effort into what they buy, and in some cases, cutting back even further on some items to choose more expensive but fairly traded products. They have chosen to consider God's heart for justice and to put it into practice, despite their own needs. As consumers, most of us are rich in comparison to others in the world. We have at least some degree of choice in the items we buy, giving us a level of responsibility to choose wisely. And it probably doesn't feel like favouritism to buy this brand instead of that brand. Yet these choices do impact who becomes richer and who becomes poorer. So our economic choices do matter. Therefore, let us consider how we can make our consumer power ensure that the poor are treated fairly. To conclude, James reminds us that favouritism shouldn't exist. It's damaging and it's not honouring to God. It's not honouring to people. It is too easy to think that we would never participate or tolerate in such obvious favouritism like the illustration in the passage from James. However, the issue of favouritism is a very real one for us today. In our personal interactions with others, whether face-to-face or online, do we consider ourselves more worthy? Do we look down on those who are different to us? In our plans corporately as a church, have we sometimes had the mentality of what can we get out of it, instead of honouring, welcoming and loving others? And in our economic activity, are we participating in the oppressive system of our wider society? Or are we making a stand, taking steps to seek justice and people being treated equally? James says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favouritism. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers." Let me pray. Father God, I pray that we will be a people and a church that loves our neighbours as ourselves. People who don't show favouritism. People who put aside our own insecurities, our own pride and selfishness, not looking down on others, instead honouring others, because we are loved by you, God, and we are made in your image. Therefore, I pray that we will be people who reflect your heart, God, and allow your heart to impact ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to you, David and Alison.
Thank you. That was great.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Wow. There's lots to pray into on that and think about. Let's just stop a moment and allow those things that Sarah's been talking about just to challenge us and rest on us. And let's pray that the Lord moves us along this in this challenging way. Lord, I just want to say yes and amen to Sarah's prayer that you would make us a people who are seeking to treat people equally and not to be people who show favoritism. And many of us are favored. We are so favored. We're favored by you, but we're also favored just by living in a city with great democracy and the NHS and our education and our privileged positions. Lord, we thank you for the favor we have received. I pray that you'd forgive us where that has meant others have lost out or been seen lack of favor. Thank you for the favor we've received, and may we give that away. As fast as you give it to us, may we give it away in the ways that Sarah's been talking about. Show us, challenge each one of us about something we can do, even like Billy was saying, something that we can do to be, to do, I don't know, to live heart to heart, to see people as favored by you. Make us aware of our own, what we've received and the favor we have. And Lord, we just want to become people who welcome everybody and do not show favoritism. Amen.